From Spark and Anvil and ChemQuest, this is Carbo in Chapter 1 of the ChemQuest cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. In the middle of the busiest square in ChemQuest, a small otter tween named Carbo stood with all four of her arms held out, and every single hand was holding on to someone. Two regular arms, two extra. That was just how Carbo was built. And right now, the left front hand gripped a nervous hydrogen who kept trying to float off. The right front hand had linked with an oxygen who smelled faintly of vinegar. And her two back hands were clasped, palm to palm, with another otter exactly like her, another carbon, so that the two of them made a little chain that ran off the edge of the square and around the corner. A younger cub squeezed through the crowd. "You've got your hands full," she said. "Doesn't that wear you out?" "Full is the whole point," Carbo said and grinned. "Watch what happens when I let one go." She loosened the hand that held the oxygen. For a second, the oxygen drifted, unsure. Then Carbo reached out again, slow, easy, and caught a passing nitrogen instead. And the whole shape of the group shifted and settled into something new. "See," she said, "I've always got four hands out. When I let one thing go, I don't fall apart. I just build something else. That's not tiring. That's me. Four hands, four bonds. I connect." Carbo had learned what her four hands were for back in her village when she was small. Her family were weavers, the otters who made the nets and ropes and pipes that tied the whole village together. And the first time little Carbo had tried to help, she'd panicked. Every knot needed to hold four strands at once, and she kept dropping strands, sure she was doing it wrong, sure her four hands were somehow too many. Her grandmother had sat beside her and taken one of her small hands in each of her own. "You feel scattered, don't you? Like all four hands are pulling different ways?" Carbo had nodded, close to tears. "That's not scattered, little one. That's reach." Her grandmother spread Carbo's four arms out gently, one at a time, until they pointed away from each other like the spokes of a wheel. "One hand can hold one thing, but four hands can hold a whole net, a rope, a junction where the water splits four ways. You're not too many. You're made for the joining nobody else can do." Carbo looked at her four open hands. The scattered feeling didn't vanish, but it changed shape. It stopped feeling like too much and started feeling like enough for four. Somehow that made it possible to try again. By the time she was six, she could tie a knot that held four strands without looking, and she understood, in the quiet way you understand things in your hands before your head catches up, that being able to hold four things at once made almost anything possible. Long chains, branching nets, rings that closed on themselves, whole shapes. She walked to the ChemQuest Academy when she was 22, because a place that studied how things fit together ought to want the atom that fits with almost everything. Beaker met her at the gate. He didn't ask her to prove she was clever. He asked one question. "What is carbon?" Carbon didn't answer in words. She reached out with her four hands and one by one caught the four things nearest her. A stray hydrogen, a bit of oxygen, another wandering carbon, and Beaker's own outstretched paw, and held them all at once, steady, in a wide four-cornered spread. Then she let three go and kept only Beaker's paw and looked up at him. "I have four hands," she said, "because I have four electrons to share. When I take your hand, I put one of my electrons in it, and you put one of yours in mine, and the shared pair holds us together. I can do that four times over. That's why I can build long chains and rings and nets. The hands aren't a trick. They're just the electrons, out where you can see them." Beaker looked at the shape she'd made and unmade in the space of a breath. "You belong here," he said.
Carbo's workshop was always crowded because things came to her to be joined. One afternoon, a boy came in dragging his feet. He'd been given two pieces that wouldn't fit, a hydrogen and an oxygen, and no matter how he pushed them, they wouldn't hold. "They just won't stick," he said. "I've been at it all morning. I think I'm doing it wrong." Carbo knew that slump. She'd felt it over the knots. "You're not doing it wrong," she said. "You're just missing the middle. Hydrogen and oxygen don't want to grab each other hard on their own. They need a joining piece." She held out one hand. "Give them here." The boy passed her the hydrogen. She took it in one hand. He passed her the oxygen. She took it in a second. Then she reached her other two hands out to two more hydrogens waiting nearby, and all at once the whole cluster clicked into a neat little shape and sat still, holding itself. The boy stared. "It's solid. It just worked." "Because I'm in the middle now," Carbo said. "One carbon, four hands, holding four partners. That's methane, the stuff that burns to cook your dinner." She turned the shape gently in her hands. "Chain me to another carbon and you get the fuel in a lamp. String 100 of us together with hydrogen along the sides and you've got a fat, or an oil, or a wax. Loop us into a six-sided ring and you've got the sugar your body runs on. Add nitrogen and you can build the proteins in your own arm." She let the shape rest in the boy's palms. "Almost everything in your body that isn't water is built on my chains. Not because I'm magic, because I've got four hands, and I keep them open." Late in the day, when the workshop had emptied, the boy came back with one more question. He was quieter now. "When you're holding four things at once," he said, "and everyone's pulling a little, don't you ever feel like you might come apart?" Carbo thought about the knots and the scattered feeling and her grandmother's slow hands opening her arms one at a time. "I used to be scared of exactly that," she said. "Four hands felt like four ways to lose my grip. But it's the opposite. Every hand I've got hold of is one more thing keeping me steady. When one lets go, I don't fall. The other three hold, and I reach out and catch something new, and the shape just becomes a different shape." She looked at her four open hands, resting easy. "That's the whole secret of me. I'm never so held together as when I'm holding on to everything at once." The boy nodded slowly, and Carbo watched the worried set go out of his shoulders, the same way years ago the scattered feeling had gone out of hers. She didn't say the rest out loud, but she felt it, warm and certain all the way through. The fullest hands aren't the tired ones. Four things held at once isn't too much to carry. It's exactly enough. And it feels, more than anything, like belonging.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Carbo. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.